Hey, it's Spooky.
Hey guys, it's C-Max.
Well, okay.
And we are, sorry for the sensory warning there, I didn't give you one, my bad. We are Matrimony of Madness. Man, I can't swallow for some reason.
Are you okay? Is it the caramel getting stuck in your throat?
It might be due to the triple shot energy, extra strength, 225 meg of caffeine. We dated on Halloween. We got married on Halloween. We spent all our evenings talking about all things spooky. We are a family-friendly podcast with all the blood and guts. And whether it's your first time listening or you're a frequent listener, we want to thank you for taking a stab at it.
And I will tell you, this episode, especially the end of it, will be lots of blood and guts.
Lots of blood and guts and stabbing.
In this episode, specifically.
Because someone took a stab at it, and they... It's like that Michael Myers meme where the kid walks on the hay bale
and he falls.
That's pretty much what a majority of this episode's going to be.
Whoop-wee.
Also, I want to thank my wife, Spooky, because I didn't really know what to talk about in this episode. And then she started...
I started singing, "Running Down the Drain."
Which should be what the Gators play during the fourth quarter instead of "I Won't Back Down." It should be, "Running Down the Drain." Something about the devil hickory. Yeah, that's what we should be playing.
Devil
not I won't back down.
Doritos.
We back down. As I said on my Facebook, we're as soft as ice cream.
Ooh.
McDonald's ice cream.
Ooh, that soft serve with the broken
the soft
ice cream.
Serve. The soft serve that seeps through the cone somehow. It's so soft, it seeps through a structure that is meant to contain it, and it seeps through.
The
that's
cone
how soft
is,
it is
also so soft.
Yeah, but... It
just like one tiny little hole.
The matter of the ice cream is so soft that it also makes the cone soft, thus finding its escape.
Its escape.
Which is something that I cannot do with the Florida Gator season. I cannot escape it.
It's
just there. And running down the drain. I propose that as the fourth quarter song.
This chair is really squeaky. Sorry.
That's okay. I gave you, you get the, this one's actually pretty comfortable.
I'm glad that you find that chair comfortable.
I got to lean over. If I had like a boom mic thing that was like in my face like this, like Transformer, then this would be more comfortable, but I have to lean over. Maybe one day when we get our house in 2025.
Stop it.
I mean, the builder says it should be done this month.
We'll see.
Or that's his goal.
That's the goal.
I mean, obviously I'm taking it with a grain of salt because we've been waiting, what's that, Titanic? It's been 84 years.
It's been 84 years.
That's kind of where I'm at.
Ah, yes.
Ah, yeah. Ah, yes. lots of manic energy. I'm very hungry. And
I want to put on the record that I said that we can eat before we did this episode, and he said nay.
I did say nay because let's just get it done. The problem is we have two reviews again. Very, very different movies. Very different opinions about both of said movies. So it's not like I work for, like, a horror zine. And I just... My job is to do one. My quote-unquote job here is to do two. And it's a little soul-crushing in a way,
I
guess.
You know what's so funny is...
It's a little soul-crushing as I stare out into this beautiful day. Could be a little bit colder. But,
well, I mean, we haven't been outside yet. So
no,
be...
I have been outside.
Okay.
To grab a drink and then come back in.
True. I guess I have also
been... A non-alcoholic drink, mind
I've
you.
I've been
okay.
to Lanai.
Because what I've been saying, it sounds like I went and grabbed like a hard drink. To grab a drink, I came right back inside. Go ahead.
It's funny because we either have like literally zero nothing to talk about on episodes, or we have like 18 reviews.
I've said this a couple times. It's either we have nothing, and then we're gone, and then the floodgates open up while we're gone, and then we're playing catch up.
Yeah, but, like, sometimes we're like, yeah, like, a lot came out or we were gone, but, like, we just didn't get to it, so, like, we don't really have anything to review, so let's play a fun game or whatever. But, like, lately we've been cranking out, and it is the spooky season.
Yeah.
But we've been
we've
been cranking out stuff. And
ad-libbing based on what I said last week?
I don't really know. I think I'm just so paranoid because Django's in here and I think he's going to eat something
or
get
fine.
Ran over.
He's fine. So, for those of you who don't know, if you didn't see it in the title that I haven't written yet but will write, we are going to review Terrifier 2. We did get to see it. It did so well. It made over $1 million the first weekend, I believe, that Regal decided. It was in like 950 theaters, I think. Don't quote me. They decided to keep it for a second weekend. So as soon as I found that out, we made plans to go see it. So on Friday night, we did go see it. And then we're also going to review Halloween Ends, which we did not go to the theater for. And we watched it on
Peacock. We streamed that baby.
We streamed that baby right to our television in the middle of a Saturday, which honestly was a horrible idea. No idea what we were thinking. And then I went and watched Florida Gators after the I was asking for the
pain.
I was asking for the lament figuration, basically.
Yeah.
It was my own Saturday version of the lament figuration.
Perfect.
Real quick, a couple of brief newsies. Because not much as October's kind of dwindling, which makes me sad and happy, which also makes me sad because, man, there's just so much. Evil Dead the Game announced that the Blacksmith from Army of Darkness is coming. They just said October. They didn't really give a real date. So he's just going to be a character with perks that you add into the 4-player co-op. We haven't played that game since we reviewed it. I still stand by the review I gave it, but there's just been so much going on with the house build, and
it's still such a fun game, but especially with Ghostbusters coming out, which is another asymmetrical type of game, I mean, there's just so much.
It's just a lot.
And Scorn's coming out, and I've been waiting for that game for how long?
It's been a while. It's been a long time. I feel like I'm going to sneeze. You ever feel it in your nose?
Yeah, it drives me nuts. I do the whole, like, smell the top of your hand to where you don't sneeze or, like...
What?
Yeah. Apparently, if you have to sneeze and you don't want to sneeze and you smell the top of your hand, it'll make it to where you don't sneeze anymore. Like, you just... The top of your hand.
So, in public, I'm supposed to take a giant whiff of myself.
No, just like this. Like this.
That I don't think you realize. That's something Art the Clown would do. Like,
no, you've never...
I'm pretty sure he does that in the
you've
movie.
You've never heard of that?
No.
Okay, listeners, if you've heard of that, please prove that I'm not a psychopath.
Have you heard of if you have a brain freeze, you put the tongue to your top of your mouth?
Yes.
See, that's an actual scientific thing. I think you're taking a giant whiff of your lard A.
Lard A?
Like, I'm just making a joke.
It works.
I don't know if it works.
It works for me sometimes.
Here's the thing. To scientifically test this, you would have to have someone in a room constantly observing them and hope, give them something that makes them sneeze. Maybe they're sniffing cinnamon or something. I don't know.
Pepper?
And then you have... What, dude? What? I'm trying to make a point here about sneeze sniffing.
Come here.
Jeez Louise, man. You would think he owns the show, bro. The gall. The nerve. Yeah, I'm yelling at you.
And the that's audacity. Why
look at him.
Oh, my gosh.
He's touching my thigh. He's like, Dad... I'm so sorry, Dad. So anyways, I'm trying to do, I was going to give you the point so I could put him in your lap, but you can get him in your lap. I'll do the point real quick. So you would have to have somebody in a room, force them to sneeze, and then somehow scientifically tell that they have to sneeze, and then somehow have a control. What's the control when you're, I don't know. It's a lot. I don't know if it works.
Okay, or you could just test it yourself instead of having to do all this research.
Yeah, but like, what if you didn't actually have to sneeze and it was one of those false alarms?
You just said, have you ever felt like you had to sneeze, that feeling in your nose?
But yeah, that was just the sensation tingly I was talking about.
Yeah, so then you did the
thing. And then you went into sniffing yourself, so I don't know, that's a little weird.
Like Superstar, maybe, where she sniffs herself?
I think you've been playing too much Dreamlight Valley and you're starting to blur the lines of... what's real and what's magical, and yeah, and I think you're burnt out like me, and now you just want to sniff yourself all the time. So I did take
a shower this morning. I do smell nice.
I really feel maybe we need to have a discussion after this. Hey, where was I? So for those of you who want to get into the Halloween spirit, for those of you who don't know, we're big on video games. There is Call of Duty Cold War. I'm not sure if Vanguard has one. I would assume so. But Call of Duty Cold War, which is what I still play, the zombies and outbreak modes have Halloween events going on, as does a very beloved title in our household that we don't have because we live in my mom's house, Killing Floor 2, Blood and Bonfires, their Halloween events. They're always really good. And if you guys have never played Killing Floor 2, it's another it's another cooperative PvE, right, is what you would call
yeah,
it?
Yeah, PvE.
PvE experience. Junkenstein's Revenge in the newly released Overwatch 2 is rumored to come out October 25th, which is another PvE cooperative mode, but for Overwatch. Fort Nightmares is October 18th, so typically they change the map up a little bit. All the scary skins hit the shop. The map changes. They add... I don't know what they're going to do this year because they took out our Halloween store from Season 2.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or Chapter 2, sorry. So hopefully they have a new Halloween store because there used to be a Halloween store that we would go and visit and just hang out in there. And then other people would come and visit and then we would kill them because they didn't know that we were in there just hanging out.
That's true. Also, as of 4 days ago, there has been no Halloween event for Vanguard.
Okay. That as of 4 days ago.
That Activision has not announced anything.
You're mumbling. Thank you. Thank you for telling me that.
Activision has not Activision. Yet.
Don't get me started on Activision.
Confirmed.
We don't need it. We don't need to get that.
All right, anyways.
And then October 18th is also Ghostbusters Unleashed, which we've been looking forward to for a long time. Going to be huge, hopefully. Reviews are pretty good. And then Friday, I don't know what Friday is, 19, 20, 21. Friday, October 21st is Scorn, which I feel like has been in development since I've been alive.
I feel like it's been in development since, like, 2014.
It's been in development for a long time. They showed it at an E3 for Microsoft,
like,
I
ages
believe.
Ago.
Forever ago. It's finally coming out. You feel like it would have gotten... it would have been delayed already if it wasn't coming out. That's going to be on Game Pass. So lots of stuff to get you in the mood. There's also, obviously, a ton of games out there in your backlog. But as far as those who are caught up on their backlog, which is insane to me, I don't know if that's a real term or if you guys are just... You've taken flexing to a whole new level, so you're like, yeah, my backlog's completed, bro.
I feel like those types of people don't technically have a backlog,
yeah,
and they only play, like, 3 games.
Yeah, yeah. They play Destiny 2 and League, which you can just play whenever you want. Like, they have those kind of games.
It's, like, games that don't really have, like, campaigns or anything. It's just, like, all multiplayer games.
Because, and here, this is just a fun conversation real quick. What does backlog actually mean? Does it mean, like, games in your Steam library that you haven't played yet? Or does it mean games in your head? Because I feel like games in your head, man, that's never ending. That's never going to go away.
Backlog are games that you own that you haven't finished or started.
But what if you've played it and you don't like it? Is it still in your backlog?
No, okay. Because you decided you're no longer going to finish it. But, like, if you started it and you're like, man, I really... Like, Tinykin for you.
Yeah.
You want to finish it, but yeah. you haven't. That's still in your backlog.
Okay, so, but with Game Pass, for example, sometimes you just download games. I might play this. Is that in your backlog? Yeah. Interesting conversation. Maybe a Hot Take Tuesday topic.
I would say yeah, because if you're like, I want to play this, and you went through the trouble of downloading
it. Yeah, but it's so easy. Game Pass is so accessible as far as...
I mean, that's true, because all the new PlayStation Plus games I download.
They're just in there.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
I have all the Infamous games, and I think I only played 1 and 2. But, like, I really don't have the yearning to play the newer Infamouses unless... a next-gen one comes out, and I'm like, oh, man, I got to play all the other ones. You know what I mean? Like, it's just in there.
Yeah, I guess that's
just
true.
Just sitting there. I don't know. Up for debate. What do you guys think a backlog is on our horror podcast that has nothing to do with backlog? I guess you could have a backlog of movies and stuff, too, which we do.
I definitely have a backlog of movies and shows,
We haven't watched Chucky. We haven't watched Midnight
that
Club.
That hurts, man. That hurts.
You haven't started Interview with a Vampire. Mm-mm. Is Chainsaw Man considered horror? I know it's anime.
Yes, 100%.
So we haven't watched that yet. So I guess you could have a backlog.
We've got a backlog.
It correlates, man.
Haven't watched Let the Right One In or Let Me In, whatever the Showtime show is.
Yes.
Man.
You're right.
What are we doing with our lives?
We're still doing other stuff. That's
I know. I'm just kidding.
You're going to get me going again on last week.
Oh my gosh, I'm kidding. Okay, let's move on. We're moving on here. What is that?
That's me slamming my head.
Okay.
I'll end with our boy Brendan Fraser said in an interview that he would come back for Mummy 4. And then he kind of made fun of Tom Cruise and said that movie flopped because it wasn't fun. And I was like, this man is a beacon for the people.
What a gem.
What a gem.
to society. Did you see that standing ovation he got at the award show?
Yeah, for the whale. Oh, well, it was the showing of the whale.
Was it that was
the Darren Aronofsky movie?
Oh my
yeah.
gosh, that was so sweet.
That was awesome.
He cried. I cried. He did cry. It was great.
And then Back for Blood also to go back has a Halloween update too. So yeah, lots and lots of stuff. Also, guys, there's probably news we missed. If we did, we're so sorry. Please just do a quick Googs. Tons of websites out there that offer news. That's not really our thing. We just like to talk about it. We did say last week that we wanted to do the Sinister Sneaks this week. We may, if we can get to them, you never know what's going to happen. We're going to push those to next week. We would still, if for some reason, if you rely on us for like trailers and Sinister Sneaks, I would say don't do that.
Yeah, that's not a great idea.
But I believe that all these movies that we're going to Sinister Sneak, you'd still be in time for if we do it next week. We had no idea that they were going to keep Terrifier 2 in theaters, and yeah. I think I found that on Thursday. And when I did, we made plans like immediately that we were going to go because they kept the same showings. And if you guys don't recall, it's a 2.5-hour movie. So it had to be planned out. Let's
yes,
just say that.
It did.
So with that being said, we're going to go in. I believe we're good, right?
We're good.
We're good. So with that being said, we are going to go in to our review of Terrifier 2. We kind of changed. I'll admit when I have trouble with something, and coming from a writing background and coming from doing like a video game website and never really having to touch movies or shows, I have trouble. I feel like I have trouble with non-spoiler stuff. And best friend of the show, David, told me that he feels that comes from, it stems from video games, where if you play a 40-hour video game, so much easier to talk about something in depth without going into spoilers.
Yeah.
Because spoilers are really like story bits.
They are.
You know, I could talk about The Last of Us without going into spoilers for an hour. I could talk about the game for an hour.
Because with video games, there's so much more to a video game than just the story.
Yeah.
With a movie or a show, there's really not much to touch base or talk about other than the story or plot line because you're just sitting there watching it. With video games, you're actually playing it.
I agree.
So it definitely is different.
So we're changing up a little bit. We're going to be a little more in depth with the non-spoiler stuff because we realize some of you maybe listening and be like, well, I wish they would go more into detail with non-spoilery things so I could see if I want to see it or not. Obviously, pave your own way. You do you, boo-boo. But we're going to spice up the non-spoiler stuff up a little bit, kind of follow a guideline, which is something I didn't want to do, but we'll see how it works. If you guys happen to like it, let us know. If you hate it, let us know. I'm not going to lose sleep over it. I'm not going to cry over it. I don't really sleep well anyway, so it's like it's not going to affect me in any way, shape, or form. So we're going to do Terrifier 2 first, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Wish we would end with Terrifier 2 first, but I feel like you almost have to end with Halloween.
We could end with whatever we want to end with.
Nah. It's okay. It's okay.
This is our show.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
It's going to get spicy during Halloween ends, though, so that's okay. So we're going to review Terrifier 2, which we were so thankful we were able to see. So thankful, Regal. And whoever else decided to keep it in theaters.
We're so thankful that the Regal Tour, what did you call it?
The Regal World Tour or the Regal, I forgot what I said last week.
I'm so glad that it came back around.
Well, technically, this wasn't part of that.
Oh, that's right. The throwback tour, that's what it was. It was the throwback tour.
That's okay, you know.
Never
mind, I blew it. We got to see this, no, you didn't blow it. We got to see this movie too. Written and directed by Damien Leone. He also did the first one. Yes, he wrote it, he directed it, he did everything. It stars David Howard Thornton as the infamous Art the Clown, Lauren Lavera, Elliot Fulham, and I figure this is fun to mention because Spooky thought it was really funny. There's some special cameo appearances. I always have trouble saying his name. Griffin Santopietro, who is he's the brother in Cobra Kai.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the movie for like 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And then right after he shows up in the movie, followed by Felissa Rose for 5 seconds. Who's from Sleepaway Camp.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She does all the conventions and stuff. She was the principal. And then the mecca of cameo appearances.
Oh, my gosh.
Chris Jericho.
Which is so funny because the whole time.
I knew prior to going in.
I did not. And the whole time I'm like. Well, no, I didn't. Never mind, forget it.
What?
No, no, go ahead.
Say it.
No, I'll say it during the spoilers.
Okay, say it during the spoilers. Okay, cool. So, let's talk about the plot. So where are we at with the plot? Hit him.
So where we are at with the plot. Okay, so.
And non-spoiler review, so.
Okay, then here's my issue with me going over the plot. Mm-hmm. I didn't watch a single trailer because I knew I was going to watch it. But what I guess I could say is the plot picks up exactly where the first one is.
Oh, yeah, that's not a spoiler.
Which was really good.
So you're doing good.
Okay, great. I'm on the right track.
Kill it.
So the
murder it. picks up right where the fire left off. Yep.
We've got a new family.
Yep.
And I don't really, again, I didn't watch any trailers, so I don't know what I can say and what I can't say. So maybe I'm not a good person.
No, I think you're good. I think you're okay. You're okay.
You sure?
Yes. So I will tell you that awesome clown restaurant.
What?
At the Clown Cafe.
The Clown Cafe? That was a food truck.
That was a trailer. Almost that whole thing. Yeah. A lot of that was a trailer, which to me, like, that part in the movie is insane.
That part of the movie was insane. But that,
so, like, he was just throwing stuff out. Like, so that part of the movie. Go ahead. Give it a go. You're stalling. Come on.
Okay.
Come on.
All right. Okay. So, you've got a new group. You've got a family. But before, the main characters were, like, a group of friends and a sister. And as we saw in the end of the first movie, the survivor is the sister, Victoria. is a survivor. Mm-hmm. She's also in, they do a really good job at picking up right where the other one left off. And so this one is around a family instead of a group of friends, and there's a teenage daughter, I would say maybe like senior year, I guess.
That's how they pitched her.
Okay, so about senior year, she's got a brother who I think is middle school maybe, and mom. Mm-hmm.
So you've got Sienna is the teenage daughter,
Jonathan,
and then you've got Jonathan's the boy,
and then mom.
Barbara, I believe, is the mom.
Is that her name, Barbara? Mm-hmm. I never caught her name. Okay, so Barbara. Dad is not in the picture, which I'm not going to go into because that is definitely spoiler
for sure
territory. So dad's not in the picture, and Sienna is very artistic and is very into cosplay. She makes her own stuff. Mm-hmm. Jonathan is very into
true crime.
And he's very into true crime. He researches it and almost becomes obsessive over it. We learn there's reasons
for sure.
why, mm-hmm. stuff like that. And basically, man, I'm still having a hard time.
So there's this family. So with Terrifier, the original, Art the Clown is a clown and he thinks this is funny. If we were going to look at motive, he doesn't have a Michael Myers motive of, yeah, he likes killing people, but he loves Lori. Like, because there's instances where I think he would kill people and he doesn't. You know what I'm saying?
Who, Art?
Art.
Oh, yeah.
So he just kind of randomly picks and chooses. He does stuff when he thinks it's funny.
Yeah, throughout the whole movie, in both of them, he's just doing things to make himself laugh.
So it's been, I believe it's been a year since the Miles County Massacre.
Yes, this is a year later.
And it picks up, like she said, right where it leaves off. And so it's basically Art following, it's basically Art kind of showing up and wreaking havoc again in all new ways. He has a companion with him this time around, which is the little pale girl. That's what she's called. Let me show you her name. How do you think you say her name?
Oh, whoa.
And as you guys know, I'm horrible with names.
Her name is Amelie McLean.
So, like, I agree, but could it also be Emily spelled in a creative, artistic way?
The only reason why I don't think that is because I'm thinking it's, I don't know, Amelie, like the French movie.
I like it. Okay. So, Amelie McLean. So, Art also has this companion with him who's a little girl who only he sees. No one else sees.
Actually, Jonathan does.
That's true.
And so does Sienna.
So, but like in retrospect, most of the people don't see.
Correct.
Her.
Yeah.
But she's the companion. She interacts with various people. She interacts with him in certain ways where things that he can't do, she can do. But technically, are they really happening? We don't know.
Right. There's this movie, I feel like, has a lot of, like, is this really happening, mm-hmm. like, blur, like, reality lines.
Line blur type stuff.
Yeah. More so than the first one did.
And so it's basically, it's Halloween night, and everyone's on their own agendas, and there's different dichotomies where Sienna wants to go out and party with her friends. Something happens with Jonathan, and he actually can't go out, so he's stuck at home. And you've got, it's Miles County, so things happened a year ago, so there's a little suspicion as to, well, they never found Art's body, so they say, so we don't know where we're going. And it's basically just Art on another rampage with some internal family drama and dialogue and crazy circumstances going on. So that's your plot.
Well, and this happened at the end of the first movie. Tori attacks the news anchor lady, and
that's actually the beginning. It's the beginning of the movie Terrifier, but it's technically
the end. Yeah, yeah. Right, but it happened in the first movie. So if you guys haven't seen the first movie, sorry, y'all. Spoilers for the first movie, I guess. But they also really focus on that too.
They do.
In the beginning, mm-hmm. of, oh my gosh, this news anchor got mauled by the survivor. What happened? Now she's locked up and mm-hmm. stuff like that.
The overall themes and tone of the movie, it's dark and gritty and gory. If you haven't seen the first one, do not watch the second one. Do not watch the first one if blood and guts makes you feel weird, or I mean they go hard. It's a splatterfest, gory type movie intentionally, and the special effects are really good for what you can assume is a lower budget than a lot of people are working with.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff with heads. A lot of stuff with
a lot of guts.
A lot of guts. A lot of skinning.
Lots of skinning.
I mean, that's the overall tone of the movie, is it's dark, it's creepy.
If you want splatterpunk horror, there you go.
It fits the bill for the first one, and it's wilder and crazier. Some of the themes that they explore are obviously I wouldn't say it's a broken home, but a family trying to avoid being a broken home and trying.
I would say it's a family who's trying to overcome trauma because of what happened with Dad.
I was getting there, and you jumped right in, and that's totally fine.
Well, I mean, you.
Well, I was kind of dissecting, is it really a broken home or not? You're right. I'll skip it. They're dealing with trauma. I feel like it teeters on the brink of this home is broken, but it's not. I feel like it goes back and forth because of a certain character I'll talk about later. So it explores that theme. It explores friendship and weirdly kind of coming of age, if that makes sense, because Sienna's very attractive. She has a great personality, but she doesn't really get out or do anything. She like Spooky said, she sits in her room and just makes cosplay, which is really cool. And you know, recovering trauma and that kind of thing. Those are really a theme. You get a story in this movie, whereas in the first one it was just trying to build Art as this crazy menace.
Yeah.
And trying to paint the picture of who he is as a horror icon. This continues that from the very beginning, but it also tries to explore a few different themes that we discussed, and it also tries to have a story, I think, on the back end that I feel like works really well. Acting and characters, what do you think?
I think the acting, I liked all the characters. I think they all had an important role. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like there was someone that was just kind of useless.
I agree.
I liked the acting. There were some parts that were a little cringy, but I feel like it was maybe on purpose. Like, I feel like it was for that, like, aesthetic, that era that they were trying to go with. So it didn't bother me cringe. It was just kind of, like, their type of thing.
Yeah, the overall color schemes of the movie, it's not necessarily Metricolor, but it's very meant to be reminiscent of 80s photography, but not going full, like...
But it's not set in that era, because everyone has iPhones and every...
But it's intentionally filmed in that aesthetic. just like the first one was. Because you were like, oh, I think it's a low budget. I'm like, I think they're doing this on purpose. And then we get to the second movie and there he's for sure.
Yeah, well, which is interesting because the production line is Fuzz on the Lens Productions.
Yeah.
So it's like, it literally, like, some scenes look kind of fuzzy.
It's done intentionally. It's like in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie that happened this year where some of the cuts were really modern day looking technology, but then another scene for a
more gritty.
More gritty.
Yeah.
And it's intentionally done that way. I really like the overall scope and the way it's filmed. I don't know if it would capture, like you said, some of the stuff that's intentionally cringe, or maybe it is cringe, but we let it pass because of the way that it's filmed.
Yeah.
Would not work if this was filmed in the quality of like Halloween Ends. Or
right.
Something.
No, I wouldn't agree. Wouldn't work. No, it wouldn't.
Ultimately, I feel like some of the parts you think are cringe are because Art's method acting. Art only method acts. That's all
he
does.
No, it wasn't him. It was like.
No. That's, well, hold on. Let me get there. What I'm saying is because his method acting is so good, when they freak out over someone dying or something and they're trying to method act, they're not going to be as good as Art because he's a 10 out of 10 professional. So is it done cringy on purpose? We don't know. But it's still, it almost covers itself.
Yeah.
It's almost like, hey, do your best. It's going to fit the overall aesthetic of what we're trying to do.
Right.
We'll take the best cut. We'll take the best shot. Whatever. Art's acting's phenomenal. I have this weird internal struggle where I'm like, dude, I should not be laughing at this at all, but it's so funny.
Dude, it is so funny.
And I'm not laughing that someone's getting killed. I'm just laughing at
his body language.
His acting's perfect.
Yeah, it's just so funny.
I think Jonathan, as a younger brother, did very well. I think Lauren Lavera, as Sienna, was great.
She was really good.
A great final girl.
Yeah, she did really good.
I think her distress and her passion, and I think she communicated everything she was trying to communicate. And I feel like with her friends as well, what were their names? Brooke and Annie, right?
Yeah.
I feel like they did really well too, as far as the friendship, you know, being high school girls and making it believable. Yeah. I think they did a really good job.
Well, and you've got one girl who's more level-headed and one girl who's like the extreme.
Yes.
Like even mom was like, oh, you're going with Brooke.
Yeah. So I will say mom's acting was cringe.
Her acting was a little cringe.
And it reminded me of, remember in Freddy vs. Jason where the dude's best friend died and his dad comes out and he's like, you didn't take out the trash? He's like, my best friend just died tonight, dad. Remember that part?
Yeah.
That was mom to me the whole time. I understand that she's trying to carry the family on her back and you can see that she's working from home and trying to manage the household. You know, dad's not in the picture, as you said. I get all that, but I felt like there should have been more crying and just overall giving up than just, like, F-words and screaming at the kids.
She was very aggressive.
Yeah, just aggressive, nonstop.
Yeah.
And then they would give it back to her, and she's like, I can't believe this is happening to me. It's like, dude, you suck.
And some of the things she was aggressive over was, like, unnecessary.
Yeah,
and
it's very unnecessary.
Bro, like aggressively, like, pressing the microwave or something. I'm like, just, like, chill. Like, what is happening?
You put that in for two, like, yeah, stuff like that.
It was
and
weird.
Like I said, it's an anomaly because the movie covers itself for these types of moments, which is really good. And I feel like, you know, with like the Barbarians and movies like that, I feel like there's a fine line with trying to cover, like, are we funny? Are we serious? Are we a piece of art? Whatever. And I feel like Terrifier 2, because of the direction and the way art is and the way it's filmed, can manifest itself to where it can cover the tracks for these types of things. The score was done by Paul Wiley. Dude, the score slaps.
Yeah.
Synthwave, just straight bangers. I can't wait for hopefully Waxworks Records to come out with a vinyl because I will buy it. Even the more pressing, ominous type music, mm-hmm. I felt like it was really good, too.
Yeah.
Music was insane.
The music was really
great.
Good.
I mean, the first song, it was like when she was doing her costume, I think.
Yeah.
The montage of the costume.
Yeah, that was really good.
Dude.
It was good.
Boom, 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 boom. I was in.
Yeah.
Music is fantastic. Cinematography we touched on. Here's one I want to go over.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't have to hit all of these because, you know, we're not reviewing Moonlight. A24's Moonlight. What did you think of the special effects?
I liked the special effects. I was fine with it. Especially because what I liked about it is they didn't change it from the first mm-hmm. one. Mm-hmm. They kept the same type of blood and guts mm-hmm. and gore. They didn't try to make it look too realistic, but it also wasn't cheesy. It wasn't like, you know, the original Exorcist where they used yogurt yeah. for vomit. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, it wasn't like too like, okay, I know this is like ketchup or whatever. Like mm-hmm. it was still believable.
It was believable.
But it was still, it was believable, but it wasn't over the top like CGI
yes.
and stuff like that. It was very raw.
It was prop design. It was yes. article effects. Yeah.
I really liked it.
And I think that's where the uncomfort comes from.
Yeah.
Is it's like, man, I've never seen a head smash before, but man, like, I feel like it would look like this.
Yeah.
Whereas like when it's done via CGI, you're like, I could tell a computer just
smashed it.
Just manifested
yeah.
this.
Yeah. And I
same
I really
thing with, you know,
the stabbing
wounds, yeah. open wounds, and
open
stuff.
Wounds, or yeah, or even like, you know, smashing or ripping apart like a torso yeah. or whatever. Even mm-hmm. like small stuff, like, I mean, not small stuff, but
it's just very gritty. It's not clean.
It's not.
CGI makes stuff look really clean.
It does.
Like in Hellraiser. Look at how clean the chain goes into this
clean
thing
cut,
and locks
yeah.
in. No, dude, that's not how our body would
no,
react.
No, no. It's like when you take a photo and you go on a filter and you use the sharpen effect and everything yeah. looks super sharp. That's like CGI.
That's what CGI does.
Yeah.
This is not that. It's gory. It's messy.
Yeah,
the point of where art has to go to the laundromat in the beginning.
Which is so funny. Oh, my God. That part was so funny. Yeah, I really liked it. It made it more... Everything was very... rigid and raw. It didn't seem like it was overproduced at all.
I agree.
And I like that.
Overall editing of the movie I thought was great, especially like we talked about the cosplay montage in the beginning. There were scenes where it would cut. I don't know if you remember, it cut from one of the friends doing something and it transitioned right into Art holding the trick-or-treat
yes,
thing.
Yes, yes.
The cuts were great. I feel like the fight scene at the end isn't getting enough credit. When he's over and over again, like, hitting, and then there's the slash marks that show up on the spot.
Yeah.
It's not heavy CGI, as we said, so it's like, how the heck are they?
Well, and...
Because they're cutting it in a certain way.
They're cutting it in
yeah.
a certain way, and you don't realize until, you know, they do it back, that they're tiny scissors at the end of it.
Yeah.
Because they get stuck in his head.
Yeah.
But, like, you don't know what yeah. it is at first that he's using until, like, at a very last mm-hmm. cut of a mm-hmm. scene. And you're like, oh, my gosh, those were tiny scissors that
yes.
whole time.
Which
I agree. Is really cool.
It is cool. Well, we still got to discuss all these other movies. So I thought the pacing was well done for how long it was. I think it did show its length when we got into some of the... When they got to a certain place... towards the end at nighttime, that's all I'll say. I felt like it started to show its head a little bit.
Yeah,
as far as
I agree.
The beginning is guns blazing.
Yeah, the beginning is guns blazing, but it does get to a point where it kind of plateaus a little bit, and then you're like, oh man.
And
like,
I think it's because it's not a lot of art.
Yeah.
It gets to a point where they're really trying to push the trauma, friendship, character building dynamic, which I liked.
Yeah.
But without... Then it wasn't like a horror movie at that
no,
point.
No, what it did is that kind of threw the momentum off.
Yeah,
it kind of halted the
There was a little bit of a
momentum
dip.
Yeah.
Didn't kill it, but...
No, but it did show the length. It did kind of... It made everything else kind of seem like, okay, well, now I kind of feel the length of the movie.
Personally, would have loved for this to have been a show.
I think it would have...
I'm not knocking the movie.
No, I think it would have been...
But as a
show,
it would have
been great as a show.
Every week, I'd be like, oh my God, yeah. What's going to happen?
What I liked about this one is the first movie was shot in two locations.
Yes.
The pizza place and the building. Mm-hmm. This one had a lot of locations.
The budget was way bigger.
Yeah.
He went all out. This was his vision. And I think he did well on it. As far as dialogue, what did you think?
I mean, I thought the dialogue was fine. Like I said, some parts may have been a little bit cringy. Some of the stuff that mom says was a bit aggressive.
Some of the Jonathan lines, I think, too. But I feel like Jonathan was meant to play the whiny.
Yes.
You know, so it's... It's his character, I feel like, not the actual dialogue.
It's the character, and even, like, Sienna saying, like, mommy and daddy to, like, Jonathan was a little bit immature for her, but I don't know if it's because of the trauma that made her that way. So I was okay. I kind of let it pass is what it
was. The movie, like I said, I've said this a million times, the movie does a real great job at making sure it takes care of itself.
Yeah.
For the inaccuracies or what it can't do.
It, like, excuses itself.
It makes sure it excuses itself, which is good. Oh, sorry, buddy. I kicked you right in the face. My bad.
Oh, I think he got up. He got up because he's like, oh, mommy.
We're doing review. So, I know we do this all the time.
Yep.
We're doing review scores during the discussion, or we're doing them now?
We're going to do them right now.
Okay. So, guys, if you haven't seen the movie, we're going to do our review. We're going to start doing review scores. I feel like this review was way better. I feel more comfortable about it. What did you think?
Yeah.
I felt like, I know I didn't want to use a script or a guideline, but I feel like, and we went out of order. We did our own thing. I feel like it's organic because ultimately the spoiler discussion is for us. I feel like a non-spoiler discussion is for people who are on the fence or want to know.
Should I watch it?
Yeah, should I watch it?
That's why I think I like giving our review scale beforehand, because then people can be like, okay, well, let me then hear why gave this review type of thing.
What you got?
I'm gonna give it a slasher.
I'm also gonna give it a final slasher.
A final slasher.
It's a slasher. If you don't like blood and guts, it's not your movie. If you like horror and blood and guts is fine, please go see this movie.
Also, for those of you,
it's coming. Sorry. By the time you hear this, it will probably not be in theaters anymore. Just throwing that out there. But it is coming to Screenbox soon. Definitely watch it.
For those of you who do not know what our rating scale is.
Sorry, my bad. We review everything on a hack and slash, slasher, and final girl. You put the numbers in there however you want.
Final girl is obviously a 10 out of 10. Just so you know.
The rest of it, you do the math.
Yes.
So, if you have not seen Terrifier 2 or Terrifier 1, we are going to hit the music, turn this bad boy off. Show notes will guide your way. And we're back. First thing I want to say is a lot of people are scared of this movie because they've been throwing up and fainting and stuff like that. And apparently it's because of the way that I think Annie, her name, was killed.
Oh, yeah.
That's what...
Her
or
friend.
Allie, sorry,
her
Allie.
Her friend.
Yeah, because, like, she stays alive. He, like, he makes incisions. He takes her arm off.
I mean, he puts salt in her wounds and bleach all over her.
That's apparently what's like, making people sick.
You know what's
sick.
Funny is, as I'm watching this, I'm like, what's making people sick and faint? Like, what part? Like, I'm thinking, like, what is it that's making people faint or
it
feel
was
nauseous?
Apparently. And then mom walking in and him pointing at her to mom and,
like,
laughing.
Mom.
And then her waking up and be like, mom! And he's laughing. I think that made people feel really uncomfortable. Hmm. The part that got me was when he takes that dude's junk off.
When he stabbed just the tip?
No! Yeah, the boyfriend. Brooke's boyfriend.
Yeah, he has the tip one.
And he got rid of his body part.
Yeah, but you don't see... Oh, you do see
you
that.
Do.
You do! He does. And then he puts it on the window.
I grabbed your leg. I was like, ah!
But that's different as a male. You kind of, like, feel that in
it
your
hurt,
private
dude.
Parts.
Oh, I felt it. It hurt. So, spoiler discussion. I don't... This could take 4 hours, but I felt like the story of Dad dying and giving her the blade... Where there's the fire because she has the dream of the clown cafe, which was an amazing scene to me. It was very uncomforting, unsettling, and it reminded me of, like, if Bray Wyatt could go, like, rated M. Like, that's what Bray Wyatt wants to do, I feel like, is stuff like that. And you got the banjo player, and he's giving the kids all the gifts. Very unsettling, uncomfortable. And so she has the dream, which in her mind, she's like, maybe I left the candles lit, but we know there's... Art is alive because of some kind of spirit, like, supernatural thing
something going
on. And so that's what started the fire. And then, like, the hidden blade.
But she knew she didn't leave a candle
on. I know, but then you start to, like, maybe I did.
Yeah.
You know? I know it was cheesy, but it was true 80s, like, Masters of the Universe to me.
It was very,
And I liked it. I thought it was cool. Like,
yeah.
You know, dad got really sick. He's seeing these things. So is dad the good side of whatever spirit? Like, I feel like there's spiritual warfare going on, you know? See,
I wanted more of dad's story.
Yeah.
But I know the movie was already too long. But I wanted to know more about... Well, we know that dad killed himself. We know that he got... He got drunk, drove into a thing.
Yeah, the sketchbook.
Yeah. But I want to know... Now, granted, mom said he went crazy and he was sick and stuff like that. He started seeing stuff. Yes. But what started all...
Which Sienna and Jonathan also both see.
Yes.
They see little pale girl and all that.
Yes. But so I want to know, like, what started all of this. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I want, like, his story.
I agree. Well, there's going to be a third one. So I would assume maybe that's where we can jump in. And on a third one, we can... Because, like, obviously, Sienna and Jonathan are still alive.
Yeah.
Mom is not.
Mom got her head blown off.
But I'm assuming that the way to keep this going... Because he kept characters alive for a reason.
Yes.
Or you would just have him, like, you know, in the first one, he's like, everybody's gone, except Victoria, who obviously plays a way bigger part than we thought.
Okay, so I wanted to ask...
Can I interrupt you real quick?
Yes.
Hold it. It sucks that in the non-spoiler review, we couldn't talk about the ending at all.
I know.
Because, like, there's no way to...
That would be a huge spoiler.
It's a huge spoiler. Yeah, so go ahead, sorry. That's all I
wanted
to say.
I wanted to ask you what your thoughts were about her giving birth to his head.
And Chris Jericho being like, yo, my wife made these zombie eyes and blood. Let me get some of that. So good. So
what I was gonna say was I saw Chris Jericho on the credits and I was like, where was he the whole time? And then he's in the after credits scene.
It's hilarious, and it's not the way I would have ended the movie, but I like that they're keeping Victoria alive, because that scene in the beginning really, like, kind of blows you away. You're like, oh my God, what happened to her? And then she goes off the deep end and she kills, well, she didn't kill, but she maims, like, the news reporter.
Yeah.
And who was sketchy and apparently, you know, was rude and all that.
Yeah, she was kind of mean.
Wasn't the best person.
No.
So, I like that it's this, it's almost what you wish, like, Michael Myers would be. It's like, dude, let's just admit there's some kind of devil spiritual thing going on.
Yeah.
And let's run with that. And Damien's like, you know what? The only reason he's alive from the first movie is there was a spiritual, some kind of crazy entity that kept him alive. So now that is also haunting Victoria. And now it's this whole thing. Little pale girl was nowhere in the first movie. Now she's in this, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, so she obviously was part of the carnival and she died in the carnival.
Yeah, she was a...
Did Art kill her or no?
You would assume.
I don't remember.
A newspaper clipping.
They did, but I don't remember, like, what it said.
You can infer, just because dad is keeping all the newspaper clippings on top of his drawings, and he draws art inside of the scrapbook, or in the sketchbook. Yeah. So I'm assuming he's trying to...
But he also draws other...
No, I agree. Well, maybe we're going to see those.
I mean, yeah, that's
true.
Yeah,
maybe we could see those.
Yeah, I don't know. I was a little bit confused on her at first, because...
Little pale girl?
Yeah, well, now granted, when we first meet her in the laundromat, he didn't know who she was either. Because, mm-hmm. like, you could just tell by, like, his face, like, what, who is this? Like, what? And then, like, you know, she pees blood everywhere or poops blood or whatever. And then, you know.
Sorry, little monsters.
Yeah. But then, like, he realizes, you know, oh, she's just as funny as I, she's just as funny
she's
as
funny.
I am. And so.
And she's dressed like him.
Yes. Yeah. And has the same creepy smile and stuff like that. So then, you know, okay, well, it's not like his daughter or something. But then I'm like, okay, well, where does she come from? Okay, we found out she was a victim of the carnival thing. But then I'm like, did he kill her?
I think so.
I want to find that newspaper thing.
I wouldn't find it right now.
Okay.
We're running so low on time. We can just, the movie wants you, you don't have to do the research, I think. I think you're doing too much research. I think the movie wants you to infer that he did it.
Well, she's still relevant, obviously. Yeah. So she might be in the new one.
And she does, like, Jonathan's voice on the phone, which plays crazy, into the supernatural entity type stuff. So I think maybe that sketchbook has more meaning going into future stuff. He hasn't said he's going to do another one, but we can assume that he will.
Yeah.
I went on a tangent. I don't hate the ending. I thought it was funny. And I like keeping Victoria in. And the thing with Damien is he full sends.
So, yes. What I thought was weird about the ending was I obviously like Victoria in it. Like, she's a good character. What was weird was the little pale girl had his head and took it. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, he did whisper something to her, it's like maybe she put it in her belly.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, I don't know what the purpose of that was.
It's weird that you're doing like true crime Reddit research right now when we're talking about Terrifier 2.
No. But I'm saying like he should nothing. Like if she gave birth to like a baby that had his head on it.
That's weirder. That's more weird.
I don't.
Way more
really?
Weird.
Really? Yes. I think it's more weird just having just a head.
No, it's weird. Because he didn't impregnate her or anything. It's way more weird.
Yeah, but
to have
he,
a baby. It's but to more
me,
weird.
To
it's
me,
more
I'm
weird.
Like, okay, now he has a full body again.
No, it's more weird.
Right now, he has his head and his body are separated.
And then we let the third movie let us figure it out.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you're looking for rationale here when we went through a 2.5 hour romp of just crazy where he's giving kids candy out of a person's head that he just killed. And, like, he's high-fiving
sense.
The kids and he slaps one of the kids' hands like, you only get one.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But I'm saying, like, you're trying to, like, justify the ending of a movie where that kind of stuff is going on is weird. Also, I'm glad that in the scene where Sienna goes out with her friend Brooke and she did the costume and she's partying and all that, I'm so glad they explained that they spiked her drink because, like, dude, she is way too, like,
lit. For one drink.
For one drink, she's way too lit. So I'm glad Brooke was like, here's what I tried to do. And it's like, oh, you're not as good of a friend as I thought you were.
Yeah.
Because, like, that part weirded me out. I'm like, dude, why is she so, like...
All of a sudden, she's, like, in...
What?
Yeah.
The scenes that stand out to me, the Clown Cafe scene was awesome. I really liked the, what I'll call the Halloween store. All of that was awesome.
That part was so cool.
Him putting the googly eye glasses on and like shaking his head and putting the sunflower. Because it's like, it really explores like his mentality. It's like, in that moment, he's really not trying to like.
He's just trying to be funny.
He's being goofy. And then I feel like the only reason he kills the clerk is the clerk's being like hyper aggressive.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like he would have killed the clerk anyways, though.
But... I don't know, though, because I think he would have got the horn and walked out.
Yeah, maybe.
And that's what's fun about art is, like, you know what Michael's going to do. You know what Jason's going to do.
Yeah.
You know what Chucky's going to do. Like, art, you're like, I don't really know, like, what he's going to do.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. Do you think his entity gave him his eye back? Because remember in the beginning he tried to put that dude's eye in his eye, his eye socket, and it didn't work? And so it popped back out. Well, he went like 20 minutes without an eye, and then all of a sudden he had an eye again.
And he's like pointing at it to the little pale girl.
Yeah, he had an eye.
I don't know. It's crazy. I also, he kept Jonathan alive too to get Sienna to come.
To get Sienna.
So it's like, you know.
But towards the end, when he thought Sienna was dead in the hole, he was like eating Jonathan. So he.
Oh, that's true.
So he was trying to kill Jonathan. Because he even was like, wake up. Yeah. No, okay, I'm going to eat you.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, it's a 2.5 hour movie. It's a romp.
What does that mean?
It's just
romp.
A romp. To me, a romp means like it's wild. It's just nuts.
Oh, okay. See, when I think of romp, I think of a butt. All
right, that's romp.
Oh, that is a romp.
Yeah,
not a romp.
Dude. Jeez Louise. And I mean, it's not much of a discussion. I feel like it just is what it is, man. It's just crazy.
If you like the first one, you're going to like this one.
It's just crazy.
If you don't like gore, blood, and guts, you're not going to like it.
Yeah. And I'm not the biggest on gore, blood, and guts, but these movies are so fun and awesome.
he's just so funny.
It gives me purpose in this horror community, which is what we're going to talk about in a little bit. So, I think that's a good segue to talk about Halloween Ends. Are you ready?
Yes.
Halloween Ends. Directed by David Gordon Green. Soundtrack composed by John Carpenter, Cody Carpenter, Daniel Davies and Daniel Davies Jr., I believe. And it stars Jamie Lee Curtis, Andy Matichak, Rohan Campbell, and then, of course, James Jude Courtney and Nick Castle. All right. Do you want to plot them up?
Sure.
Plot them up.
All right.
We'll say if you haven't seen Halloween 2018... I feel like that's off limits. Halloween 2018 and Halloween Kills, it's off limits to listen to any of this.
Yeah, basically.
We're not going to play the spoiler track. If you care about this movie, to hear our review, then I think you've at least not cared about the other ones, or you've seen them.
Yeah.
It's fair. Yeah. Fair game, right?
I would say so. So basically, you know, coming off of Halloween Kills. No, yes, Halloween Kills. I'm getting this all mixed up now.
Evil dies tonight.
Coming off of Halloween Kills. You know, Mikey's supposed to be dead. And in this movie, you know...
Well, he's not supposed to be dead. Because the movie ends with him killing...
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Lori's daughter. So they don't know where he is.
He disappears. So...
And it's been a long time.
Yeah. So it's been 4 years. So this movie is 4 years after Halloween Kills. Mm-hmm. And... Lori's daughter is dead. The dad is dead. It is just Lori and her granddaughter, Allison. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're working on moving on with their life. So, Allison...
Bought a house.
They bought a house. They bought a really nice house together.
There's, not the crazy structure.
Nope, not the crazy structure. They are in an actual neighborhood with neighbors. They are still in Haddonfield. She has a job as a nurse. And... And yeah, so everything.
Writing a book.
Oh yeah, Lori's writing a book, basically a survivor book, which what it seems like. And so yeah, so they seem to be wanting to move on with their life. And Lori is trying to help Allison move on. Also, you need to find a boyfriend. Mm-hmm. You need to get out. You should go to this Halloween party. Mm-hmm. Blah 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 blah. And. Basically, without giving away spoilers, we know, Michael is still in Haddonfield. As you know from the trailers, he's in a sewer.
We assume just eating fat rats and drinking swamp water.
I just keep making jokes that Michael's just 4 years in a sewer, just sewer doo-doo boy.
Yeah, sewer doo-doo boy.
Missing fingers. He's just in a sewer. For 4 years, he's either eating rats or eating homeless people or eating whatever. I don't know how he's also maybe just evil incarnate, so he doesn't need to eat or drink to survive.
The shape.
Who knows? So, Lori finds out about this, and then Lori's like, okay, well, we need to stop him.
Mm-hmm. This isn't a spoiler, but there's also a new character named Corey who has a troubled past that Allison also starts hanging out with. So he is involved in the movie in certain capacities that we'll go over in the spoiler discussion. But he bonds well with Allison and Lori to start the movie because of
his past
and... which kind of gives us into the theme and tone of the movie is there's big trauma bonding in this movie.
Trauma bonding.
Not only just Lori and Allison, but you've got Allison and Corey, Lori and Corey. Lots of trauma bonding. Deputy Frank, who, if you remember, was stabbed by Michael's therapist at the new institution he was at.
Mm-hmm.
I want to explore what makes him a killer. Remember, Deputy Frank was stabbed, almost died.
Yeah.
I think Allison saved him. I can't remember.
I think so.
So, I mean, he not only worked the case in 1978, but he's been working the case the entire time, almost died, and you kind of think he has a thing for Lori in Halloween Kills.
Yeah.
And then Halloween,
you know,
End,
that he cares about her.
He cares
her.
About her, at least. Yeah.
Yeah.
So trauma bonding there. You've got Lori writing this book.
I think Frank's retired in this one.
Yeah, I don't know if he was ever in uniform.
He never was.
Yeah.
I think he's retired.
He might be. Or was he in uniform at the end?
No, I think he just heard about the thing.
Yeah, hard
to say.
I think
someone told him about it.
Fair.
But no, I don't think he was ever in uniform.
Gotcha. The sheriff is still the sheriff.
Yes.
But we don't know if Frank's a deputy anymore. So just a lot of trauma bonding there. A lot of the book is relating to Lori's feelings of the town. And sometimes it switches gears to where it's like, is she talking about her? She's talking about the town. And that's just the overall, what the shape has done to induce fear in the Haddonfield and the hearts of his victims and their families. And Lori and Allison and Corey all have their own versions of dealing with their trauma. For example, you know, Lori feels like she's blamed, whereas Allison sees herself as the victim. Corey's seen himself as a certain way.
Yeah.
So there's the big themes and tone of the movie are, you know, that fear-induced panic. Not as much as in Halloween Kills, but the residents are still, they still talk about Michael Myers all the time.
Yeah.
Kids are talking about him who may not have even been coherent to know what happened.
Yeah.
Kids are talking, you know, go ahead.
It's just a theme every Halloween is, is Michael Myers. Which, understandably, you know, every year at Halloween, Michael Myers shows up and starts murdering people in this town. So, like, I get it. Like, I get it.
What do you think about the acting and the characters? Now, granted, there's only one new character. So, overall, you're getting the same cast.
The new character, I liked his acting.
Doesn't have to be just acting. Like, overall, what do you think?
I liked his character in the beginning, and then I didn't like it for reasons I'll go over in the spoiler review.
Sure.
I liked his character in the beginning of the movie. And then I was like, I think this character is stupid. And then what's really weird is when I first saw Allison, I was like, man, she looks really old for being only 4 years.
They made her look old, and they made Deputy Frank look really old.
They didn't make Deputy Frank look really old. So they made her look really old, which is weird because she was literally, I don't even think she was a senior. Was she a senior in Halloween Kills?
I'm not sure. It's a good point.
I don't know, but you would think that even if she was, she maybe the oldest is 22, and she looked older than 22.
Yeah, she looked way older.
But again, maybe they were just trying to give that effect of the, you know, the trauma made her old, you know, aged her and stuff like that. But the same character, so not, I mean.
I think overall, the only, like, in this movie, the only consistency is Lori and Deputy Frank. Allison has this crazy mentality, and she does things that it's like, dude, in Halloween 2018, you were the only one who believed your grandma.
Yeah.
And you stuck up for her.
Yeah.
Then you watch your dad die. Your dad dies in Halloween 2018. Then your mom dies at the end of Halloween Kills. And her ability to just forget all of that when she's dealing with trauma literally makes no sense at all.
Some of the things that she says to Lori, I'm like,
what? Who do you think you are?
And I told C-Max, I was like, why is everyone acting like Lori didn't also lose a ton of people?
Yeah. All of her friends.
All of her friends?
She had to save Tommy and Lindsay from a killer.
Yeah. Like, it's just, all of her friends died. All of her family except her granddaughter died.
She was isolated for how long? People thought she was a lunatic.
She has no friends.
They still think she's a lunatic.
Like, I don't understand. Yeah, like, the hatred towards Lori in this movie, like, pissed me off.
I get the direction of the movie going that way. My biggest thing is Allison should have been the bright and shining star, and Allison just starts.
She was, yeah, she
makes no sense.
No.
To the
her
characters.
Her mentality made.
To the characters you've built, Allison being in Halloween 2018, Lori, if you're retconning all the other stuff, Lori was in 1978, Allison obviously Allison's not, but Allison is in all three other movies. To
her
watch.
Character development.
It was Buzz Lightyear in Toy Story 4 or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Made no
completely
sense.
No sense at all. Yeah. Her character development up until this movie was going one way, and then they put her in this movie, and it was completely different personality, completely different mindset. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what?
Yeah. The direction of this movie, we can't really get into. They went way off course. They tried way too many things that don't coincide with any of the lore. And if you're ending the franchise before someone picks it up again, if this is the story you were trying to tell correlated to the 1978 movie, the direction is just, it's on par with a spin-off series.
So
it just doesn't. The overall direction of the movie is dealing with the final conclusion of Michael Myers, but that's not really, we didn't really do a lot of that. That's
yeah.
not really, wasn't really with the forefront of what we were doing.
In my opinion, this movie was about an hour and 50 minutes. In my opinion, an hour and 20 minutes of this was not a Halloween movie.
No,
it
wasn't.
Did not feel like a Halloween movie. It felt like a completely different movie.
Yeah, it felt like an A24 drama.
Yeah,
it was weird.
Yeah.
The score done by John Carpenter, his son, I believe, or brother, I can't remember. And then the Davies, the score was great. They're using the same songs. They're adding variations of the songs you love. They're changing the notes, changing the keys. It's what you want in a soundtrack. Wish I'd have got more of it. Obviously we talk about 1978 a lot, but I think what made Halloween 2018 so good is like, the soundtrack was pumping in that movie.
It was
like
loud.
Like, remember in Halloween 2018 where he runs into the kid and he goes, da-da-dee!
Yes.
Like, it was loud. It's dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Yes.
Super. This was very, like, minuscule in the background. And I don't know if they were trying to do this artsy thing of where Michael is distant.
I feel like this movie was very dialogue heavy, whereas 2018 was very much where they didn't need to rely on dialogue. They could just rely on the music and Michael being Michael and Laurie being Laurie and having a few extra characters here and there to build the story up. But they didn't need to rely so much on a plot development, and they still made it a really good movie. Whereas this one, they just got rid of all of that.
I agree. It's deteriorating. It deteriorates from the whole lore and, I guess, not joy, but the whole... The whole reason you watch a Halloween movie, like in not a Halloween season, but a
Michael Myers Halloween.
It got rid of the reason you watch one.
Yeah.
As far as the kills, two stand out to me. They were very lackluster.
I'm
stabby stab. You've got one of the best. You got one of the top five kills, I believe, in Halloween kills. Where he's just grabbing every single knife.
Yes, that one was awesome.
And it lasted for what felt like I died and went to hell and heaven at the same time.
That one was awesome.
And then you get to this and there's a kill in the junkyard that was really cool, but they tried to do this camera angle where it was off center.
Yeah, it was weird.
And then there was another kill involving another personality in the movie that I don't want to spoil it because you guys will know who will die, but there was another really cool kill inside of a certain place with another personality that was really good, but only two stand out. Everything else was very lackluster and boring. And I think this has to be the lowest kill count ever in a Halloween movie.
Probably.
As far as,
well, maybe the first, maybe 1978.
1978, there's a lot of kills, man. There's a lot. I don't know. I can't really get into, like, Michael Myers' actual kill count numbers is like three in this movie.
Well, yeah.
That's all
okay.
I'll say.
No, fair. Okay.
That's all I'll say. Special effects and overall production design and stuff. I felt like they didn't do much with Haddonfield. Haddonfield looked kind of lackluster, and I don't know if they're trying to show, people are scared of Halloween, but it's like it's also been 4 years. I don't think the street Halloween 2018, the streets are popping. They are beefed up. And now granted, it's been how long since Michael has been a threat.
Right.
So maybe that shows the rejuvenation of the season, and with only 4 years. I don't
know. Maybe, but even in Halloween Kills, there's still kids walking around.
You're right. And this seemed very lackluster. It seemed like they didn't want to invest in it seemed like they didn't want to invest in the environments.
It didn't feel like Halloween.
Didn't feel like Halloween at all.
Like the season, not the movie. It didn't feel like the season of Halloween.
The dialogue, as far as just the conversations, we've already talked. Allison's just off her rocker. They make references to the old movies. I feel like Lori did her best. They like to use her script and reading from the book. She had a lot of great one-liners. There was one where she's like, Allison, you need to just let grief rip your clothes off. That part was really funny.
Someone said this is the one line that Danny McBride put in.
Yeah, probably. Probably. Was he even affiliated with this movie?
I actually don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. And then overall pacing, it is boring.
It was very boring.
And I said Hellraiser was boring last week, but a good movie. I do not think this is a good movie, and it was very boring.
Yeah.
We have a little bit to get into in the spoiler discussion. I'm not going to talk all day. One thing I do want to say for people who might not read the spoiler discussions is I have a hot take that I want to go into real quick while my sister-in-law is texting me, way to go, Lamar, which means he probably threw the game. And I'll use that to my advantage. Obviously, you guys hear me talking. This movie is a hack. This movie sucks, okay? I'm not trying to be negative. This movie sucks. It's a waste of time. It's a slap in the face to everybody who even likes scary movies a little bit. This movie is a slap in the face. I'm going to say what I would have... Halloween Kills is way better. God bless. Never thought I would say that, dude. I thought literally going into Halloween Ends, you know, they're going to rectify... Dude, Halloween Kills is way better movie than this movie. This movie sucks. Okay, I'm sorry. Sucks. I'm done saying sucks. Sucks. What I want to say, this movie's a hack, by the way. What I want to say, hot take it, cancel me, I don't care. I am sick and tired of people not being transparent, and because they think they have a spooky group that's big, or a meme page, or they sell clothes, that you can't say that a movie's bad. There are several clothing companies out there, meme pages, who have a big following, who are saying this movie is good and defending it. You are a cancer to the culture. You're the reason that directors just put out nonsense and bullcrap, and you need to be more transparent and live your life and not be a fake phony.
Big fat phony.
You're a big. That's what you are. You're a big fat. And I love you. And I would be kind to you, but I would tell you you're doing a disservice to the community that you quote unquote love. What do you love more, the community or making money? You're choosing making money, and we
obviously
see,
they're a business. They're going to choose making money.
But you know what I mean. Say a movie is bad and still sell things.
I agree. Yes.
Before we get to the spoiler discussion, go ahead.
Well, this is clearly a hack. This is not a... I did not like the direction at all. I'll go over in the spoiler section if you guys want to hear more. But it is a hack. I will not recommend this movie to anybody. Anybody. I don't recommend it. I actually even like the Rob Zombie versions of Halloween better than this one. I severely disliked this movie. I thought it was pointless. I thought the direction they did was stupid. I thought the themes they were trying to do were stupid. I thought the character development they did with a certain somebody was stupid. They didn't need to do it for as long as they did. The decisions they made with that character towards the end were stupid. I think it was all just poor decision making. I feel like they didn't know how to end. I feel like they didn't know how to end the franchise. I feel like this was just a grasp at straws. I feel so bad.
I like that. I like the grasp at straws.
I feel so bad for Jamie Lee Curtis and everybody else involved in this movie because it sucked.
Yeah.
And I really do feel bad for all the actors and people who put their heart and soul into this franchise because it wasn't good. It sucked. I will never watch this again. I will never recommend this. If people talk about it, I will tell them, do not waste your time. It is a waste. It is 2 hours wasted that you can do something else that will benefit you than just wasting away. C-Max and I watched this, and I literally felt sick afterwards. Yeah,
we were sick yesterday.
I was lethargic. Yeah. I felt gross. I couldn't move. I tried to take a nap afterwards. It was just bad. It was bad, y'all. I do not recommend watching this movie. Do not watch it. If you want to hear more on why I hated it so much, then you can listen to the spoiler discussion coming up soon.
And it's not going to be long.
It's not.
We're going to hit the music. And we're back. I love how I said we're going to hit the music.
I know. I was like, wait, what?
But that's okay. We'll leave it in. Okay. I like it. So real quick, I don't want to talk about this movie anymore. I want to have a great Sunday with my wife. Spooky, her name. Long story short, Michael isn't the killer in most of the movie. It's Corey. This movie starts with a bang, dude. Corey's babysitting. This kid is kind of a butt, and you can tell it's because of his parents, because Corey's offering, you know, the mom's going over, and we work in behavior also. This is like a big deal to us. The mom's like, he's wetting his bed. Here's what's happening. Da-da-da. And Corey's like, well, you know, he's offering like good advice. He's not even a babysitter. Yeah. And he's like, we could read him a story. Yeah.
He literally mows lawns for a living.
And he's like, we could read him a story. We could try to change his outlook before he goes to bed, thus making him not have bad dreams. And mom's just complaining, not listening.
So then Corey gets mad and is like, screw it, we're going to watch the scary movie
then.
Yeah,
so he's like, fine then, so watch the scary movie. Turns out the little kid is very entitled, very nihilistic, just does whatever he wants. Long story short, he pretends that Michael's in the house, and he locks Corey in the closet. The parents get home.
He locks him in the attic.
The attic, sorry. And it's a very, very nice house. They're rich.
Oh, yeah, it's huge.
He locks Corey in the attic. Parents get home right when Corey kicks the door open. It hits the kid in the face. He flies over the staircase and dies.
It was kind of a cool scene.
It was a cool scene, but I think it was too funny because the kid yeets.
He does.
The kid gets yeeted.
He ragdolls off.
He should have just fell down.
He should have.
He should. What should have happened is the kid maybe shouldn't have died, but his face should have got disfigured or something. He yeets. Like when you see the scene, he's falling, free falling. It's like,
yeah.
I feel like he would hit the staircase he would hit the barrier and fall down.
It's like if you threw a stuffed animal off the side.
Yeah, it was like if you literally chucked it. I don't know. It was impactful to me because you feel bad for Corey because you really like him starting out.
Yeah.
And it was silly, but it was a good intro. And I was okay with it.
It was a good intro. And I was like, okay, all right, I'm in.
Then we get to the trauma bonding and Lori writing the book and trying to recover. And what's crazy is I don't have much to say in the spoiler discussion because there's not much meat to this movie.
Yeah, so basically...
I have a few things to say, but go ahead.
Okay, you just say your few things.
So, Corey is the laughingstock of the town. People think he murdered the kid. He gets harassed by cops. He gets harassed by band members, which was such a weird band member bullies. Weirdest take I've ever seen.
Instead of like the football jocks, they're like marching band jocks.
So they're bullying him. He lives with his mom and her stepdad, who he really likes. And his stepdad is really trying to... His mom is very tiger mom abusive.
Yeah, she's...
Just vocally crazy. Whew. Stepdad gives him a motorcycle, lets him be late to work. He works at a mechanic shop. He's really trying to give him a life and encourage him.
Yeah, the stepdad was awesome.
Lori ends up stopping the marching band bullies from bullying Corey, and she ends up introducing him to Allison. So obviously she gets blamed when Corey's downfall starts to happen. Corey, how does he get to Michael?
So how he gets to Michael is...
They throw him over the
thing. He's leaving the Halloween party with Allison. Remember, he gets all mad. Right. So he storms out and
because the mom of the kid he quote-unquote killed starts
there.
Harassing him at
the
Halloween
party. Yeah, so then he leaves and he blames
That's
Allison.
That's their first big date, him and Allison.
You left me. Where were you? Okay, well, first of all, you left her.
You left her.
Yeah. That,
you guys are drinking.
That made me mad. Yeah. You left her. Anyways, and then he starts walking home. The marching band comes in their car and they get in a fist fight or altercation or whatever, and they throw him over the overpass, and he ends up next to the sewer hole, which is where Michael lives.
Which what really makes them mad is he and Jamie end up slashing their tires when they're not looking after Jamie helps him.
Yes.
They take the car to the mechanic shop he works at, and the leader of the band group's dad is like slapping him in the head and abusing him. Corey says, "You're just like your dad hates you, so you hate the world." He's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
They throw him over the ledge into this little sewer where we assume Michael's at in the movie. Somewhere else they show, like, they keep showing the sewer.
Yeah.
Michael grabs him in the middle of the night, pulls him in. In the daytime, he wakes up. We don't know why Michael pulled him in.
Well, okay, so remember he pulls him in and he kind of, like, Corey kind of gets out and we're like, why are you so weak? And then he tries to leave, and then Michael grabs him by the throat in that hole, remember?
The why are you so weak thing came later. You're mixing it up. Yeah.
But
I'm saying at nighttime, Michael pulls him in, but Corey wakes up and it's daytime. So Michael leaves him there. Oh, yeah,
you're right.
So then Corey wakes up. Michael, it's the scene in the trailer that you guys have seen. Michael reaches through, grabs him. There's some kind of crazy ESP spiritual devil connection where Michael sees that he killed someone, but Michael doesn't see that it was an accident. So Michael lets him go. And it's like, this has never happened ever in the history of ever.
So basically, it's like Michael ESPs his evil into Corey.
So then Corey starts to take out vengeance on... He takes vengeance out on the band people. He takes vengeance out on Allison's old boyfriend who's being too like flirtatious while they're on a date at a fast food restaurant. He takes vengeance out on the DJ who basically says, "Get off my property," and makes fun of both of them. He's like, "Haha, it's funny that y'all are together because y'all are one's a victim and one's looking for attention and one's a monster." And so it's Corey who does the really cool kills, two of them.
Yeah.
He blowtorches the band dude. And then the DJ, he slams his head a bunch of times.
And then
pulls his tongue out, leaves the tongue on the record so the record doesn't play right. Michael didn't do any of that.
You're peeking the mic.
It wasn't Michael.
No.
Michael's three kills.
What's so annoying is like he stole Michael's mask. He should have just kept the scarecrow mask on the whole time. I hated the fact... He had Michael's mask on this whole time. It was so... Well, he had the scarecrow mask on when him and Michael killed the doctor and the doctor's assistant. Yes. But, like...
Who were also... It all played around Allison.
Yes.
So this was different than Michael. Corey's push was anybody who's affected Allison or myself is who I'm going after.
Yes.
Corey kills the homeless guy in the beginning. To me, it's self-defense. The homeless guy pulls a knife on him.
Oh, yeah, no, that
like,
is
like, he killed him in self-defense. Like, yeah, you don't count that. But apparently, after Michael let him go and he kills the homeless guy, the dad of the son who Corey killed said that he saw him the same day and Corey looked in his eyes and it wasn't the same guy. Why? Because he had to kill someone in self-defense? Like,
because...
The ESP mind?
Yes.
Mind transfer?
It's the ESP and evil.
The Jedi mind trick?
That's what it is. And I just lost what I was going to say. Dang it. Never mind. Go ahead.
So Corey goes on a rampage and he ends up bringing the cop. What gets Michael going?
Oh, I remember.
He brings the cop there who was messing with him and Allison. And the cop doesn't realize, hey, dude, he's taking you to a underground sewer. You don't think this might be a trap? And so Michael and Corey kill this guy. Michael's super weak.
Okay.
Can't stand up. He gets punched once. And he's KO'd.
So I made a joke because as soon as Michael stabbed the cop, it's like he got energized or something.
The crick in his neck. He's like, ugh.
Yeah, like he all of a sudden. So I made a joke. I made a joke that maybe if he starts killing people more, he'll grow his fingers back.
So good.
Maybe like killing like energizes him.
So basically, Corey, it all concludes on Halloween night where Corey tries to kill Lori. Lori calls in a suicide because she knows cops will show up because it's her house.
Yeah.
So she knows they'll get there. She knows potential. She's smart. She's the best. It's Lori. She's a baddie. She's the final girl. The ultimate final girl. You can throw Neve Campbell at me, Sidney Prescott, all that. Lori is the ultimate final girl. Period. The end. She survived this long. She's got the record. Whatever. She calls in a suicide because she knows the cops will get there faster to try to stop her. Whereas if she says Michael's here, they're going to be like, it's been 4 years. Like, I don't really know. You know, whatever. Especially with, if you're right, Deputy Frank not being on the force, they're just going to throw it out.
Yeah.
She calls them suicide. They want to get there to stop her from killing herself.
Yeah.
Because they believe that she'd kill herself over Michael actually showing
100%.
Up. 100%. It's a good play.
It was a good play.
Corey shows up. She basically fights Corey, gets him stabilized. Corey's like, if I can't have Allison, nobody can. Kills himself, or we think he does. Allison walks in. She thinks Lori did it. Because remember, Allison's gone crazy. I love Corey!
Which is so stupid because it's like, Allison walked in with Corey basically dead and Lori with the knife. You don't see Michael's mask right there?
I know. So, Michael comes in, kills Corey because he's like, yeah, dude, I'm good.
Yeah, he basically breaks his neck.
And maybe it was like, I don't know what they're trying to communicate. You couldn't get it done.
Maybe I don't need you.
You're not a killer.
I don't need you anymore to energize my spirit.
Oh, stupid. Kills him the same way he killed Cameron, which, you know, we couldn't have had a cool kill. Michael does no cool kill, guys, at all.
No, he doesn't.
None.
He doesn't do any
cool kills. Him and Lori have a final fight, which I thought was really boring.
It was really
Lori's
boring.
Beating the tar out of him. Rightfully so, I guess. Whatever. Let's just do whatever we want here.
It was super
cool. Allison, all of a sudden.
Believes mom.
Twist of fate.
Oh, because.
Hardy Brothers.
No, it's because she got the call from Frank saying we got a suicide call from your grandma's house. So she.
Oh, so she thinks that maybe she's going to kill herself because.
Yeah, so she went back because.
Good call.
She got the suicide call.
She shows up. Oh, wouldn't you have it? Michael's back.
Yeah.
They beat the tar to Michael, which is pretty cool. They break his arms and stuff. They do the same thing that he did to the dude in Halloween Kills, and they plant him on the table, and you know she has to recite poetry apparently before she kills him. You know, so she kills him. Maybe the best part of the movie is they put him in a grinder, which we couldn't have done this a long time ago.
Yeah, I don't know why that wasn't the choice in the beginning, but okay.
They put him in a grinder. They have all of Haddonfield watch, which I guess was fine, but it was also corny in a way. Could have been cool. Wasn't executed.
Yeah, it was kind of weird.
And then her book is finished, so we assume she publishes it. And then I get the idea that Allison and Lori are going to move out of Haddonfield, which is like, dude, you went through all of this to move?
I mean, I got the feeling that she's going to Japan with Frank.
Before that, though, the house is packed and stuff, I'm pretty sure. Because remember, it shows the house empty and there's the Michael mask on the table. All of this, now you're going to move?
Yeah.
You saved Haddonfield.
I didn't catch that, but...
That's what I took
you,
from
it. I mean, you could be right.
And then they talk about cherry blossoms some more. Cue the ending. I was sick. Then I had to watch the Florida Gators lose. I don't want to talk about this anymore. If you didn't watch the movie and you listened to the spoiler cast, bravo. You got way more, in my opinion, content and entertainment than the movie would have given you.
That's true.
Clap back at me. This is one thing I don't care. I'll argue a little bit.
It's bad. It's not good.
You have anything to say?
It's bad and it sucks.
It's bad and it sucks. I love you so much. And I'm sorry that Saturday in the afternoon is what we had to do. So anyways, guys. See how I can pick this up.
Sorry, guys, for peeking your mics all the time. Hello? And then he starts clapping. Hello?
We love you guys so much. We're sorry about the negativity. It's not really negativity. It's just our honest feedback. It's not good. And if the people who are saying it's good, they just love nostalgia and they need to find a way to
They love making money and they're trying to sell you something.
Yeah, they need to train. They need to be Zenyatta from Overwatch 2 and experience tranquility, I feel like. We are on Discord. We are on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. We've taken a break on a lot of content till we move because we're really trying to get
personal life
situated. We're very close, and we hope when we get our rooms situated in the new house, and we get everything going, we'll be able to do our filming and produce more content for you guys. For those of you who are listening, we're super thankful. Make sure to review us on your favorite podcatcher. Review us honestly. I'm a hypocrite if I tell you to give it 5 stars. If you think it's 3 stars, give us 3 stars. 4 stars, 1 star. But give us some feedback of how we could change, what you like, you don't like, because we want to tailor it to what you guys like. We're never going to be making money. We're not trying to make money, but we want you guys to find joy. So the way you guys find joy is letting us know how we can give you said joy. I'm going to end with the fact that over the weekend, it's crazy that Michael was the clown. Have a killer week.